Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet Preview Series presented by OTGBasketball.com. Make sure you follow OTG on Twitter at OTGBasketball. Also hit that subscribe button. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me in all these preview pods, Corey Waldron. What's up, Corey?
Hey, Nick. How you doing? I'm feeling a little magic today after this pod.
Feeling a little magic? Well, that's good because today is number 28, the Orlando Magic. Before we talk about that ranking, let's talk about the Magic from last season. What are your thoughts about the Magic team from last year?
We're looking at a team that is, you know, first year under new head coach Frank Vogel. It's a learning curve. You're trying to learn a new system. We saw a lot of odd pieces. You know, we saw Jeff Green get a lot of starting time at first. We saw Serge Ibaka spend half the season there before he was shipped off. We saw Evan Fournier actually take a, you know, a little step in his career. Aaron Gordon. You know, it's a young team that's just got a lot of work ahead of them.
Yeah, definitely was a weird offseason for the Magic last year. Like we mentioned before, they've added some pieces like Serge Ibaka, Bismack Biyombo, Jeff Green, yet they already had guys like Nikola Vucevic and Aaron Gordon, guys who were playing that four and five position. So there was kind of a logjam. Obviously, they had a new head coach, Frank Vogel, that's somebody you know from Indiana with the Pacers. And, you know, he kind of wanted to enforce that defensive first mentality. It didn't really work as much in his first season, but we could see more improvements this year. One thing's for sure, though, the Magic struggled offensively last year. 29th in the league in offensive rating, not a very good three-point shooting team, and just not a very good shooting team in general. And that's going to probably be a problem for them this year as well.
I mean, for sure. And think about it this way, Nick. Once they made the trade for Ibaka, the best player on that team to end the season was Terrence Ross. And now that Ross isn't a good NBA player, but it doesn't bode well for you when your best player is Terrence Ross.
I would probably say Aaron Gordon finished as the best player, but Terrence Ross was definitely one of their better guys, and that's no shot at him, but he's somebody you want as maybe your fourth or fifth option. He's not really a consistent threat. You know, he had some great games with Toronto in the past. He dropped 50 in a game before, but he never could really produce consistently, especially in the playoffs where they needed him to. And that's kind of why Toronto went with Damari Carroll at the three and made that big signing. It never worked out, and the Raptors never really had a good three-man, and he was part of that reason. And not to say that he hasn't done well in Orlando, but it kind of speaks volumes about the team.
Yeah, no, he definitely wasn't playing as well in Toronto as he was in Orlando. But we see that from time to time with the change of scenery, you know. And even Ibaka, you know, trading for him, you know, it was at the beginning of the season. Like, it's always good getting an all-star. So, like, trading and getting Ibaka on your team, like, Magic fans, I'm sure, were very excited. And it was just such an odd move, and it just didn't pay out because I don't know what they were trying to accomplish by making the move. So, like, that entire season, you know, Aaron Gordon was losing some minutes and having to play some minutes at the three because of Ibaka. It was just a weird system that they had going on at first.
Yeah, it just – things didn't really work out, and I'm pretty sure the Magic ended the season, like, 2-7. So, you know, this last stretch over the end of the year, they did play more young guys, and they had some injuries, and they traded Ibaka. But still, you don't really necessarily want to go end the season on a bad note, especially when you're a young team.
No, 100%.
What was the highlight of the Orlando Magic season for you?
I'm going to say just the development of, like, this core and, like, this youth. Like, between Evan Fournier, who we saw averaged, you know, 17 points per game, and he was, for the most part, a threat from deep. I mean, he was probably the highlight or the best player on this core. We saw Elfrid Payton finally, you know, not that he was lighting it up on a daily basis, but he had a couple more triple-doubles, which he seems to do every year. Defensively, he's been a stud. He raised his shooting percentage for the first time in the last 2 years. We saw Aaron Gordon get a little bit more aggressive in the offense. You know, for me, like, the collective unit of just the youth progressing was the highlight.
Just like the improvements of the team internally. I mean, they definitely did have some improvements. It was a bumpy ride. As you mentioned, Elfrid Payton, he had some rough stretches early on, but then he finished the season strong, grabbing some triple-doubles. It's really tough to find a highlight because it was disappointing, but I think for me, the highlight would be, you know, finding a good head coach in Frank Vogel, somebody to kind of stabilize that situation and give the young guys something to build on. You know, now they have a building block for the future. They're going to move with this culture moving forward. They brought in some new front office guys this year. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on Orlando and what they do this season. But disappointment last year, what do you think would be the biggest disappointment for the Magic?
For me, it's going to be Biyombo. Only because, you know, last offseason they signed him for 4 years, $72 million. Another hefty, hefty contract to a guy who only played 22 minutes per game last season. You know, he averaged 16-9. But, you know, for me, I think that's the biggest disappointment just because you have so much cap locked up into a guy who is very limited on what he can do in the basketball court. I mean, obviously he's a very good rim protector. He's a very good rebounder. Offensively, he's, besides a lob and, put back guy, he doesn't give you much of anything. And having $72 million locked up, for the next 4 years, well, 3 years now, that for me, that's the biggest disappointment.
Yeah, that definitely was an overpay, kind of like the Mozgov deal. Like, you're signing a guy, all he can do is really rebound, play good defense. His hands are questionable. He can finish some oops for you, but you're not going to play in big minutes. He's not necessarily a fit with the small ball NBA. The Magic probably wish they could kind of combine Nikola Vucevic and Bismack Biyombo together. They'd have a great player, somebody who could do a lot offensively and be a great defender, but that's not the case. So now they're stuck with both these guys, with both getting pretty good paychecks, and they're not really able to do much. And that kind of leads to my disappointment because they had another big man that they traded for, Serge Ibaka. They traded Victor Oladipo, the 11th pick for Serge, and Ersan Ilyasova. Then they ended up trading Serge Ibaka to Toronto for Terrence Ross in the 25th pick, but they didn't even draft with the 25th pick. They traded for the Sixers, which could be for a future pick that could always end up being a second round pick because it's heavily protected.
I agree. If for me it was either Biyombo or Ibaka, Ibaka only spent half the year with the Magic, and they gave away a very young, decent prospect in Oladipo. I mean, obviously, we haven't seen Oladipo take the steps in his career that we would want to see out of a young shooting guard like Oladipo. But they traded Ibaka and they got Terrence Ross in a draft pick he said they didn't even use. So the whole Ibaka thing. I mean, I guess the only benefit that comes out of trading him is the fact that you didn't have to worry about losing him for nothing or signing him to a big deal this offseason. But, it was pretty much a waste of half of Ibaka's season.
Well, yeah, and then you also trade Victor Oladipo, who, all right, whatever, you got rid of him, you didn't have to pay him, but you lose the 11th pick, who turned into Sabonis, but still, it's kind of funny. That's the same trade package that ends up in the Pacers. It's
Yeah.
kind of weird, and if you really think about it, so pretty much Serge Ibaka for Paul George, in a sense, was a trade, but that's not what the Magic got in return.
Yeah,
So.
this was probably the biggest L for the Orlando Magic in this last tour window is the fact that they pretty much, flipped these prospects for Ibaka. I get the fear of losing Ibaka in free agency, but I mean, what why would he why even trade for him then? Like, what was your
Exactly.
thought process bringing him in the first place? All right, we're gonna bring him in. Let's try and get a 8 seed, or let's like, I just don't even understand the mindset going into that trade.
And then they're on the fact after they already traded for Ibaka, they signed Bismack Biyombo. So
Oh.
then they just made their life miserable. Then they also signed Jeff Green, who we know is not really a great small forward anymore. He can give you probably better minutes at the four. So they just contributed a log jam. And then Aaron Gordon, we all know he's not really a three. He plays better at the four. So it's kind of just, it's kind of good for them that they have a new front office now and new people and making decisions up top.
Well, yeah, and hopefully this year, they don't have a whiteboard picture get out to the public where you can see
Oh,
everyone they're
yeah.
targeting.
Yeah, definitely. You don't want to see that happen. That's pretty embarrassing. But enough about disappointments. What do you think about this ranking for the Magic at number 28?
I think it's fair. Personally, I think I still th I mean, it's fair. This is right where they should be. They're a bottom three team in the league, bottom five for sure. There's no, you're not gonna hear any complaints out of me for this ranking.
I'd probably say maybe a touch, it could be a touch higher. I think there's a few teams that they might be better than, especially when we look at some of the additions they made, adding some solid veterans to that team. I don't think they're probably going to be worse than last season. Like we mentioned, the Vogel system coming in, I think it'll probably make them improve a little bit overall. So I don't think they're a great team, and I don't have them out of the bottom five or the bottom seven, but I do think they're a little bit better than 28.
I mean, it's fair, especially for the fact that, we're going to talk about who they brought in this offseason. They're finally getting a lot of Frank Vogel type players within this system.
Exactly. And some guys that really can just ball. They had some guys last year on that team that were G League guys or guys that fringe NBA players, kind of similar to the Nets situation where they had to play guys and they didn't have depth and they had to give guys minutes that they didn't want to give minutes to. And this year it's not going to really be that situation. We'll talk about those additions, but let's talk about the draft picks. Number six pick, Jonathan Isaac. This guy is, long, lanky. He's kind of like a mystery. He's kind of like a wild card. We don't really know what we're going to get with him. We don't know how great he can be. Some people had him talking about like superstar level. Other people have him at star. Other people think he can just be kind of a role player. What are your thoughts on Jonathan Isaac?
Well, I think it's important to say first off that he's only 19 years old. So this is a very raw player, and we can't really make I've been known to do this in the past, you know, when I see rookies at the age of 19 and 20, I seem to jump to conclusions too quickly. Like, you really can't judge a player until they hit, like, 22, 23, 24. Like, you got to wait a couple of years, especially a guy like this. You know, he played 1 year in college. You know, this is a small kid. I mean, he's got the body, though. Like, you know, he's 6'11". He's got the height, size. He's very athletic. You know, there's a lot of raw talent about Isaac. It just depends on how he develops in the next level.
Yeah, I mean, this year he should probably be able to have some type of an impact defensively just with his mobility and length. Obviously, the size is an issue, but like you said, 19 years old, it's a player you're going to grow. He's raw offensively, but the potential is there just with his ability that he's flashed so far. If I'm the Magic, I'm pretty excited for him because it's kind of just, like I said, a wild card. You know, he could end up being a really good player.
Not that I'm going to compare him to Paul George specifically, but when Frank Vogel and, you know, the Pacers drafted Paul George, I see a lot of similarities within Isaac. You know, a decent defender. He's got length, but he's a very subpar shooter. And that was Paul George's same deficiency early in his career. And, you know, we know a lot about how players, you know, they can put up 1,000 shots in the gym for an NBA. Like, the amount of work a guy can put in is so much higher in the NBA that a guy like Isaac can easily flip around a jump shot.
Exactly. And as soon as he puts on a little bit more size, it might make it a little bit easier kind of grow into his body. I'm sure he's 19 years old. He couldn't have been 6'11 for that, even that long. He could still be growing too. We've seen guys kind of grow another inch in the NBA, put on some better size. So I would definitely be pumped. I don't have a problem with this pick. I know some Magic fans and some NBA fans have mentioned, should the Magic have grabbed Dennis Smith Jr. at this pick?
I say no, only because, I mean, Elfrid Payton hasn't done enough wrong. You know, he's 22 years old. The guy, when he's on his best games, can give you a triple-double. So the thought process for me is, if Payton can develop a consistent offensive game, like if he can hit the long ball, if he can keep attacking, then this could be another guy who can average, you know, I don't know, 14, 7-7 or something around those numbers near a triple-double for this Orlando team.
See, I'm not as high on Elfrid Payton. I mean, I think he definitely has shown some nice flashes, but I just don't think he's ever going to be the shooter that he needs to be in the NBA. But I think he'll probably be a solid backup. But I don't know if that would make me change my mind on Isaac just because he's such a wild card at this position. He could be so good, and he's kind of, like you mentioned, a fit for what Frank Vogel's looking for as a defensive-type player. Dennis Smith Jr. is always going to be undersized, and defensively he's going to be a guy that gets attacked, and that's not something that Frank Vogel necessarily is looking for in his point guard.
Yeah, and Elfrid Payton is a lockdown perimeter defender at this point in his career as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, they have a fit of what they're looking for, and what I don't think Dennis Smith Jr. necessarily fit Frank Vogel's mold for point guard. Because obviously we look at somebody like George Hill, who was the Pacers point guard for a long time defensively, not necessarily a scorer, but he could shoot the ball a lot. And I think that's more of what they're looking for than somebody who's going to run the show all the time and, you know, be undersized and attack the rim as much.
Yeah, the thing I've learned about Frank Vogel is when it comes to building his team, he'll always take the defense over offense. It doesn't even matter, you know, how much better of an offensive player he is. If the guy can play defense, that's who he's going to go after.
And looking at this roster, that's starting to make a lot more sense now. Obviously, we mentioned last year wasn't as much that, but now you can kind of see the pieces come together. As I mentioned, the Magic had another first-round pick. They traded it for future picks with the Sixers. And then the Magic also had made another trade, and they had the 33rd pick in the second round, and it's Wesley Nwuda. And from what I've read about him, he kind of seems like an athletic, maybe for some potential as a 3-and-D type guy, NBA comparison with something like a Kent Bazemore.
Yeah, you know, I looked up some raw stats from last year. You know, he averaged 13, 6, and 3. He shot 48%, 37 from deep. He's 6'7". I know a couple – draft prospect said that he's got length, he's athletic, so it makes sense. He's a very good wing defender, so it's just another kind of guy that, you know, will play defense, and we'll see what he can give Orlando offensively, but he's a guy that he can plug in and out.
Yeah, a guy, you know, like you said, he'll play defense, gives you another athletic body. But let's talk about the signings that we kind of touched on. Well, let me give you the list, and then we'll go through each guy. Jonathan Simmons, Shelvin Mack, Aaron Aflalo, Mo Spates, you know, all solid veterans. Jonathan Simmons is somebody they got for a good deal. He's coming from San Antonio, brings some nice energy, can tack the rim, and he just gives you that extra pop defensively that Frank Vogel would be looking for.
For sure. I mean, think about it. You lose Jeff Green, you get Jonathan Simmons. Win. Not that Jeff Green is I mean, Jeffrey's not a good NBA player. He'll have fun in Cleveland. He'll play
He's just a huge disappointment. Yeah, Jeff Green is just a disappointment player.
Whenever you see a Jeff Green trade, you think, oh, man, like, yeah, he could be pretty good on that team possibly. And then within a month or so, you're like, oh, wow, yeah, this guy is just not – he never meets expectations. But
– Exactly.
Jonathan Simmons, like you said, like with the Spurs, I mean, last year, you know, we're talking about a guy who is 27 finally getting, like, his shine in the NBA, which doesn't happen often, like catching on this late in your career. But, you know, he showed off in summer league last year. He started off last season with a bang by blocking somebody in that Warriors-Spurs debut game. And it seemed like all season long, this is just a guy who grinds. He does the dirty things. Like, he's just an all-hustle ball player.
Yeah, definitely a guy that, you know, you want on your team. And he's going to play defense. He's going to give that energy. He's coming from San Antonio. So you might see maybe a little drop-off in his play, but he's going to be in a bigger role most likely in Orlando. The one thing that they probably want to see from Simmons is just be more consistently from three-point land. He had some tough stretches, especially this season. So I think if Simmons can improve offensively and get more consistent, he could have a bigger role with Orlando.
Yeah, like you said, you know, that's his one deficiency. The only good thing I can say to that is, you know, I know we're going to touch about like Spates and a follow, two guys who can shoot the three pretty well. Fournier can shoot the three pretty well. Terrence Ross is a pretty good three-point shooter. So this roster so far has a pretty good balance between shooters and non-shooters, in my opinion.
Well, that's one thing I think that they did this year, and that was a goal of theirs, is kind of add some shooters to this team, because last year that was a major issue, especially when you have players on the floor like Bismack Biyombo who can't shoot, you know, anywhere closer than a layup. And then, like we mentioned, Alfred Payton, who struggles from three-point land. So I think that was a goal of this Orlando Magic team this offseason. And they did a pretty good job at adding Shelvin Mack, Aaron Aflalo, and Mo Spates, like you said. Mack's a solid guy because he can kind of push Alfred Payton a little bit. I don't know if he'll start, but he'll kind of give them a nice backup option and somebody who can play good minutes. And he's coming and played for guys who've been injured in the past, like George Hill last season, and other situations he stepped up.
Yeah, you know, he's a very good backup point guard in the league. You know, I know they let C.J. Watson go. You know, think about last year, their backup point guards were a mixed backcourt between C.J. Watson and D.J. Augustine. You know, both guys a little bit older. Both undersized, and now the Mack's not undersized, but they get a guy who's a little bit younger and I think a little bit better defender at this point in his career than both those other two.
Yeah, and he's going to be more athletic than those guys. Even though Augustine's a fast player, things haven't gone that great for them in Orlando. Then moving on to Aaron Aflalo, a guy who's already played for Orlando once in the past. He was traded to Denver, I think, from Orlando. And, you know, now this offseason he signed. He's not the same player he was back then, but he's still a veteran guy. He's going to give you a solid guy on the bench. He's going to play defense. He's going to shoot the ball. I'm not really sure how many minutes he's going to play. He could be somebody who would play more minutes early in the year to kind of set the tone. And then as he progresses in the season, they might go with the younger guys to develop a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, actually, Aflalo had his best season in the NBA while playing for the Orlando Magic in 2013-2014. So, you know, maybe he gets a little bit more fire playing back down in Orlando. But, yeah, like you said, I mean, we saw Aflalo kind of fall out of the rotation down in Sacramento last season. I mean, obviously, after they traded Cousins, they started playing the younger guys a whole lot more because they weren't really set on trying to get that eighth seed in the West. So we saw a little transition in that. But a guy like Aflalo, who's, you know, he's 32 years old. He's been around the league now for almost 10 years. This is a guy who can help these younger guards and players develop. And as well, like, you know, like you said, this is a guy that Vogel can trust early on in the season as well.
Very true. Moving on from him, let's talk about Maurice Spates. You know, this is a guy they got for a pretty good price. He played with LA last year, the Clippers. He did some okay things for them. You know, we know what he can do. He's not your traditional big man. As some people would like to say, he's the biggest shooting guard in the NBA. You know, he just loves to shoot the ball. He loves to score, and he can give you buckets, and he's somebody who can spread the floor a little bit for Orlando.
This is a really good signing just because of what we talked about earlier with Biyombo. You know, not that Space is by any means as good defender or rebounder as Biyombo, but he's a center who can stretch the floor. And I mean, like we saw down in LA for these last couple of years, I mean, the guy can shoot the deep ball. And at times, you know, it's really fun watching him score, even when he was with Golden State as well.
Yeah, when he was in Golden State, he definitely joined the splash team for a little bit sometimes. He would just get hot and it was just fun to watch. So, I mean, Magic fan will probably enjoy him a little bit. He'll probably do a few things that make them not too happy. But, you know, overall, I think the additions they made with the draft picks, it just is kind of the right direction for this team. I don't think any move they really made is a bad move, and I think it kind of all helps them moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, going through this, you know, prepping for this, the Orlando Magic for this podcast, my constant thought throughout this was, I like almost every move. Like, I can see actually a direction. You know, we're going to talk about, you know, like the Bulls and et cetera, but there are certain teams that are rebuilding, and the direction the team is taking is kind of hard to see at times. This one for me is pretty clear.
Yeah, and I mean, Orlando has been in a bad spot for a while, well, for a while. So I think now finally starting to get a direction with Vogel at head coach, you know, John Habin's in there, Jeff Wiltman. It kind of gives them a new culture they're trying to set and kind of set up this new environment of what they're trying to do. And I think the tone is, you know, we want to play defense, definitely. I think a lot of guys in this team can play above average defense, and that's kind of what they're going for this season. They try to sprinkle in some shooting so they can have some more success offensively. So, I mean, the Magic should be, you know, better than they were last season, but we'll see that this year, see what happens.
For sure.
But let's go departures. You know, they didn't lose anybody crazy. They lost Jody Meeks, Jeff Green, and as you mentioned, they waived CJ Watson.
Yeah, none of these guys are going to be missed very much. Those guys were all part of these 53 losses. So I'm sure they'll be by at least Magic fans, you know, adios.
Yeah, and Meeks, you know, he's always been banged up. His problem is he's a great shooter when he's healthy, but his problem is he hasn't been able to stay healthy the last few seasons in the NBA. We mentioned Jeff Green, he's a disappointment, and CJ Watson, as soon as he kind of signed with Orlando, nothing went well. So it's been a rough stint for him in Orlando, and I don't know much about the rest of his NBA career from here on out.
I can tell you this much, just because he was with the Pacers for a couple of years after his year with Brooklyn, and because he was pretty good with Brooklyn that one year, he's a
Yeah,
guy who he never stays healthy enough.
And basketball is such a rhythm game, and if you're always hurt, it just seems like it's always hurting you. But I think we both agree, departure wise, you know, nothing bad here, no mistakes by the Magic.
Yeah, they probably have one of the best offseason grades so far.
Yeah, because you know they didn't really do anything wrong, so that's always the positive thing. But let's talk starters for the Magic. Who do you think is going to start for Orlando this season?
For me, I'm going to say it's going to be Payton, Fournier, Simmons, Aaron Gordon, and then Vucevic. Vucevic? Is that right?
Vucevic.
Vucevic. Okay. Yeah, there you go.
The
I'm
NBA is
just
getting
going to
tougher
stay away from European names.
But I mean, I agree with most of that. I could definitely see two possibility changes. I don't know if that's what is going to happen. I mean, Payton definitely is going to start. Evan Fournier is definitely going to start. And at small forward, I think some people had mentioned maybe Terrence Ross might start. But it's probably going to be a battle for that small forward position. Like you mentioned, he had some success last year. It depends if they're looking for more offense or defense. Based off what you said about Frank Vogel, it could be Simmons, but that could be a battle for that small forward position.
Well, like you said too, you know, Simmons with his jump shooting. Say he comes out the gate and he's playing good defense, but he's not hitting shots or he's struggling offensively. Well, a guy like Terrence Ross, you know, he slips on the defensive side of the court. But that's a guy who, for the most part of his career, has always been a dunk and three kind of guy.
Yeah, I'm honestly, it's a tougher decision than it initially looks like because you mentioned it, and then if you look at the less, well, then if you look at the rest of the lineup, you know, Elfrid Payton, like we said, not a great shooter. Aaron Gordon's still trying to develop that 3-point shot, and it depends on what they do at center too, because there's been some talk about maybe starting Biombo and then going with Terrence Ross, and then you bring Vucevic off the bench so he can kind of have his own offensive role with that bench unit and kind of do things that he wants to do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think it's crazy to think that they might throw out, you know, a death lineup of their own with Payton, Fournier, Simmons, Terrence Ross, and like Biombo, or just something where you have a bunch of guys who can run and shoot with one rim protector.
Yeah, they would definitely have a fun lineup to throw out. One fun lineup I could just think of the top of my head would be Payton, Fournier, Ross, Jonathan Simmons, and Aaron Gordon.
Oh man, yeah, just I mean, Gordon's got the size at least, so he can at least bully somebody down low for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think this year we're going to see a lot more teams go to that super small lineup and not play a traditional center. So more teams are going to be tempted to kind of mix and match with lineups.
Well, yeah, as Brad Stevens said, you know, the league is turning into can you have a guy who can defend, a ball handler, and a wing? Like, there's the types of positions are starting to be washed away in today's game.
Yeah, it's definitely getting more and more positionless. Obviously, some teams are going to make you adjust more than others, and some other teams are going to give you more flexibility. So it's always fun to watch the coaches kind of battle their strategies.
We like to see that. You know, we like to see coaches having to adjust game plans and think more outside the box than traditional things.
Exactly. And that's when you're more likely to see something that you've never seen before, or a lineup that really could, you know, be successful with this team. I mean, obviously the initial thoughts about the death lineup, if you told somebody about that 10 years ago, they probably would have been like, oh, that would never work. Centers will just abuse them inside the paint. Then look what happens. You know, the Warriors win two championships and get to a third one and lose. But, you know, it's just the success of that team is going to change the NBA.
For sure. I mean, just think about when that death lineup before Kevin Durant even went to Golden State, between Draymond, Iggy, Klay, and Curry. I mean, that flipped the league over that first year.
Exactly. So that's something we're going to probably see more from. We know it's a copycat league, and the rest of the NBA is going to start to adjust that even more this season. Let's talk breakout guys, though. Breakout starter for the Magic this year.
Oh man, I know you're not high on him, but I'm going to say Elfrid Payton. I think this, for me, this is the year where we see, like, if he doesn't have a breakout season this year, then this is his peak. You know what I'm saying? He won't get much better than this if he doesn't progress this season. And I think adding a guy like Simmons, you know, adding Shelvin Mack, adding drawing a blank Mo Buckets, adding Aaron Afalo, a couple guys who can shoot. I just think it might make his job a little bit easier because the years past, Orlando has not had a lot of offensive weapons, and not that they have a ton right now, but they have a few more. And for the young point guard, that can only benefit you when you're trying to run an offense.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, having weapons around, even somebody like Simmons, who's not necessarily a good shooter, but he'll get out and run with Elfrid Payton. That's something that I think will help Orlando too, is because they need to pick up the pace, because they could have some issues, kind of like Atlanta not having a whole bunch of creators offensively. They kind of need some guys to create some easy offense, and one way to do that is play good defense and get out on the break. So that definitely could help Elfrid Payton. That's kind of his game. For me, though, breakout starter, I'm going to go with Aaron Gordon. I think him and Payton are both in contract years, so they're looking for that max, that big contract at the end of the season. I don't think Payton will get it, but Gordon could possibly be in that range if he steps up offensively and becomes more consistent.
Yeah, the one thing I would like to see from Gordon would just be a jump shot. You know, some type of either a mid-range or a fade, or just anything besides dunks and attacking the basket. He just doesn't have much else. And in the NBA, you know, at this point, like, you need to be able to shoot somewhat to be a successful NBA player.
Yeah, I think his shooting has improved. You know, free throw and mid-range is starting to pick up. It's that three-point line where he needs to get consistent, because that's where he could become that deadly player. You know, off that pump fake on the three ball, getting to the rim with his size and athletic ability to get above the rim, he could be a monster. And we know defensively Frank Vogel's helped him, and he's kind of got the mold for a great defensive player as well.
Yeah, and, you know, not that he's as anywhere near Blake Griffin, but he reminds me a lot of Blake Griffin to a degree. Just like the style of play he has, between, you know, being a guy who's very, you know, very flashy, very athletic, very strong, you know. And at first, you know, Blake Griffin didn't have a jump shot or anything. We watched Blake Griffin over the years develop that mid-range shot. And even in a little bit, you know, nowadays he can stretch back behind the three-point line at times.
Yeah, I think that's Gordon. It's going to be development. This is a big year for him and Payton, and it's going to be a big year for the Magic and how much money they want to throw these guys and decide if these are core pieces moving forward or not. Breakout bench guy. Who do you think is going to step up on that bench and have a big season?
I'm going to say Jonathan Isaac. I know that's a little bit simple, but I just think having guys like Simmons, having Frank Vogel, who's a very good defensive-minded coach, I just think Isaac will be able to come off the bench and know that, you know, play good defense, run out on the break, and just have a year of development. Like, there's no pressure right now on Orlando, because no one's expecting them to be much more than a 10 or an 11 seed anyways in the East. So I think this is a very good situation for a young rookie like Isaac, who was picked 6 overall, to just kind of showcase and build on a rookie season.
Yeah, no, I mean, rookies are usually a good pick in this situation, because most of them aren't going to start their rookie year unless they're one of the great ones. But I think Isaac could definitely have a big season. I could see him kind of starting out slow and then post All-Star break being huge. I'll be interested in see, you know, I mentioned the position battles that I could see with Terrence Ross and Jonathan Simmons. That could be interesting if Simmons, you know, he could have a big year if he's off the bench, because he could just supply that energy in a different and bigger role. Or maybe someone like Nikola Vujicic, if he's coming off the bench, his ability as like a six-man type guy to provide offensive pop would be great for the Magic.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's the one thing about this team, actually, and just thinking about that breakout player is all these guys, to a degree, are like on that cusp where they can either fall over on the breakout part or they can fall over on the flop part.
Yeah. And last year, I think Orlando had a lot of guys that they expected to do a little bit better, and then those guys didn't do well, and they didn't have the depth to react. This year, I think they have more options where they can kind of mix and match, and Frank Vogel can kind of be like, all right, this lineup will work. I don't have to keep these guys out here, or I can bring in a bench guy, and he'll actually do a good job.
You know, the more and more we talk about this team so far, this podcast, the more and more I'm actually excited to watch them, and it's going to change how I answer our last questions in this pod.
To be honest, like, Orlando is kind of a team that, you know, doesn't catch much hype. Obviously, they're not going to probably be a playoff team, but they definitely improved, and it's kind of hard to give attention to teams like that, especially in the bigger general NBA, especially Orlando. They're not Miami. People don't really care about the Magic as much as, you know, some of the other teams in the South.
They need to. They got Disney World down there, man.
Yeah, we know Brooke Lopez loves Orlando, but not the Magic. But we'll move on here to season predictions. What do you have as the best case? Best case.
My best case scenario is going to be 35-47. I think, you know, only having 29 wins last year, I think 35 for me is just, you know, if we see guys like Peyton develop a little bit more into the game, Gordon develop, Simmons gives them the impact they're expecting him to have, and that Vogel is able to, you know, really get his defensive schemes into place down in Orlando.
Yeah, it sounds about right for me. I think in that, like, that low mid 30 range, you know, which would be right, I think, going to be right around that competition for a low playoff seed with that 8 seed race being really bad, possibly. Orlando could see themselves maybe in that picture, and that's a best-case scenario. I don't think that's necessarily what's going to happen, but I don't think it's out of the world to say that they could be in the playoff picture with 35 wins.
I agree.
So, but worst case, what's the worst thing that could happen to Orlando fans this season?
I'm actually, you know, because I have to now, you know, after being so hard on Atlanta, I need to regain my composure and strategize better. I'm saying worst case scenario, Orlando goes like 27 wins. And then you just don't see what we talked about in development. You know, you see Gordon not develop any better of a jump shot. You see Peyton maybe go backwards or remain the same. Or who knows, maybe they bring in Simmons and Spates and Afolo and Mac, and maybe none of these pieces really fit together, and they end up, you know, having a lot of chemistry issues on the floor.
Yeah, worst case for me is that, you know, these guys don't make that jump, and they're put in a weird situation with Elfrid Payton and Aaron Gordon in determining how much they want to pay these guys, and they end up with that mid 20 wins. I don't think they'll be much worse than last season, but one issue for this team could be a half-court offense. They could struggle creating for themselves. That's why I think it's very important for them to get out on the fast break, because in the half court, they don't necessarily have a ton of playmakers that can change the game.
Well, yeah, that's the one issue. Even Shelvin Mack, to a degree, you know, they don't have very good half court point guards. A lot of these guys.
And Frank Vogel's not really known. You know, he's a great defensive coach, but he's not necessarily known for having an amazing offensive system that's going to set these guys up for an easy night.
No, I mean, that was in Indiana, that was one of his big issues. I mean, granted, his point guard was George Hill, who isn't the greatest playmaking guard in the league. So that, you know, obviously brings it back. But, you know, in the half court set, at least having guys like Fournier and Simmons and Ross, and even Afolo, you know, guys who can stretch the floor a little bit, it does make it a little bit easier, but we're still going to see a lot of the same issues.
Yeah, and then you got to worry about some of those guys that can't shoot, and that makes it so much harder. So that's why I think it's so important for them to have these shooters on the floor and for them to hit their shots. But what do you actually think is going to happen in Orlando this season? What's your realistic prediction?
31-51. I'm going to say they get 2 wins better than last year. We see a couple steps in the right direction, but they're still missing their go-to guy on this roster, clearly.
Yeah, offensively, I think that there's going to be an issue scoring. Defensively, I expect him to improve this year. I expect, you know, Frank Vogel to start to do his thing. They definitely have some nice defensive pieces and then sprinkle in some offense. They'll improve, like you said, a few wins. I don't really expect a huge jump. Low 30s, which might be enough. Maybe they get lucky a few times and end up in the playoff race, but I'm not sure. I think offensively, there'll just be a few issues, and there's still a few flaws with this roster where they might want to make a move or so.
Yeah, I mean, nothing to keep in mind, you know, if – say, you know, at the deadline, this team is fluttering and you're not sure if you want to keep Peyton or Gordon. They can make a move at the deadline just to ship one of these guys out of town.
Yeah, they could try to do that. Or, you know, even some of them, maybe one of the older guys, they could try to maybe move in Evan Fournier. They wanted to. His contract's a little bit big.
You know, I know Vucevic has been on the block a few times in recent years because of his contract, and just, you know, he's not necessarily a very good defensive center.
That's his issue. I think he can only really play offensively, and he's limited defensively. And he's kind of similar to Enes Kanter's situation where he's, you know, he can do offense, but when he's out there defensively, he's a problem.
He's rather slow, too. Score.
Yeah, he's slow-footed.
Yeah.
Put him in a pick and roll, and you're getting to the rim. So that's one issue for them is him, but I don't know if they'll be able to move that contract, so that's going to be an issue. Let's move on to a more enjoyable segment, and that's the truth. Our emoji today for the Orlando Magic is going to be, you know, the smiley face emoji with the hands under the chin thinking, because we're kind of analyzing the Magic this year. We know they're still in that transitional phase with the new front office and the new head coach, so we want to see what they're doing. But so far, it looks like it's working, but we're not going to jump to conclusions just yet.
It's one of those, like, we're happily that's not the right word I was looking for. We're happily interested in what the Magic are doing.
Yeah, they've gained our attention. You know, we're like, oh, okay, that interest bar is starting to climb a little bit. League pass-wise, though, what do you think, Orlando? Do you think they're a team that – what are you going to give them out of the 1 to 10 ranking?
Well, let's see. I gave the Hawks a 1.
A 1.
I gave the Nets, I think, a 2 or a 3.
A 4.
Oh, I'll give them a 4. Okay, so I'm gonna give the Magic a 3. And I'm going to say a 3 simply because of, you know, Jonathan Isaac, and just I want to see, you know, how these pieces work under Frank's offense and defensive schemes.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you with the 3. This team doesn't necessarily have a ton of exciting plays, but if they start to get the fast break going, that could easily go up to a 4 or 5 because we saw Elfrid Payton throw a couple of lobs to Aaron Gordon that were just nasty.
And this team in times, you know, in recent past, I know the last time I remember them being hot was with Oladipo. Well, they have had these stretches in the last couple of seasons where they look like a pretty good team for a stretch of games.
And they beat some good teams randomly.
Yeah, so who knows? Maybe they get hot next year and I tune into, you know, 2 or 3 games in a row.
Yeah, I mean, if they start to play fast-break basketball, I'll definitely move them up more to a 4 or a 5 because Aaron Gordon, Jonathan Simmons, Elfrid Payton out there running the break should be pretty fun to
and
watch.
Let's not forget about Terrence Ross.
Terrence Ross, yeah. I mean, they got some real guys that can get up and throw them down. Just an Aaron Gordon and Terrence Ross alone could have a dunk competition.
Both guys have been in the dunk competition, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Exactly. Just dunkers.
You will watch the Orlando Magic over what TV show that you like?
Okay, got it. Arrested Development.
Okay.
I like Arrested Development, but like it's not one of those shows that like I, you know, frequently watch, but I enjoy it. So I would watch the Magic over that.
Yeah, that's a pretty good choice. That show gets like a little bit too predictable and like constantly the same type of bad things keep happening. So it's just like it gets old after a while. You can only watch a couple episodes and then come back to it in a few weeks. That's a pretty good choice. I almost want to go with the same one, but I'm going to be a little different. What's the show? I mean, I kind of like Orlando, but not a ton to watch. I can cut out this dead space. I'm trying to think. I'm thinking maybe Bob's Burgers, but I kind of like Bob's Burgers, but I think I'm going to go with that.
You're saying Bob's Burgers?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What? I know. I'm a tough critic, and I have a weird taste in TV, so you guys will kind of see this as the preview series progresses.
Man, you don't think that show's funny at all?
I mean, I think it's funny, but I also like basketball a lot, so I'm like, unless you're a really good TV show that – You know, there's not many TV shows that are going to win this battle. There's very few, and most of the TV shows I like don't have new episodes anymore, so.
That's a common issue for me as well, so fair enough.
You know,
I think you need to give Bob Burgers more love, though. Slightly more love.
Cynthia likes it more than I do, so I end up watching it. Maybe it's because I have to watch it in situations where I don't even really want to watch it. It's probably the same thing for Orlando, though. There'll be situations where I don't really want to watch a Magic, but you know, I always try to watch every team a little bit just to, you know, give them a fair chance.
Yeah, and the only way to really know a team is also by at least watching, you know, having some kind of opinion by watching them.
I mean, personally, I try to at least catch one game of each team every week because then you at least get an idea. You always have highlights and, recaps. And then there's a few writers you always trust for each team. When you read their stuff, you trust their opinion.
I agree with that. You got to watch to know.
Exactly. A lot of these Twitter people don't know about that, but that's for another day. That wraps it up for Orlando. So, Bob's Burgers fans, don't be too mad at me. Thank you for listening, though. Corey, as always, thanks for hopping on.
Always a pleasure, Nick.